We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Stephen Frost, you've been very critical of a series of proposals to keep the Paw Sox in Rhode Island. Do you think it would be better for Rhode Island if the team was to leave and go to Worcester rather than accepting the deal passed by the House of Representatives and the Senate most recently?
I think it would be better that the taxpayers have the final say of whether or not they want to invest in a private business that is consists of very wealthy individuals.
But is that really realistic? Because, you know, you advocate a public vote if public dollars are put out. That would delay the process to November. That seemingly does not align with the timetable sought by the Paw Sox.
Two things on that. I've been advocating for a public vote since September of 2017. Number one. Number two, we have had special elections historically in our past where we have bonds on the ballot, and that could have happened. Now, what's occurred is the politicians waited to the last minute to figure out what they're going to do for whatever reasons they had, and now we're in this situation. If the Paw Sox want to stay and they want to, I still think it's possible, you could put it on the November ballot, and that would have happened.
Before we go to Scott, one final question on this issue. If the Paw Sox do leave Rhode Island for Worcester, will you be partially responsible for that? Because seemingly you have pressured Speaker Mattiello to support a deal that only offers less exposure for taxpayers.
People will say whatever they want to say about what my role is. What I can tell you is whatever I had to say wouldn't have mattered if the voters did not, if the voters wanted this deal. The voters didn't want this deal. Mattiello knew that, number one. Number two, the speaker had all the power, and he made a deal in the end that nobody likes. In the end, if they leave, people can turn to him, they can turn to me, but I think voters will say to themselves, we didn't want this deal, and it didn't happen.
I'm wondering how you feel about abortion rights. Do you support the Roe v. Wade standard?
I consider myself pro-life, sir. I do not support the Reproductive Health Care Act that some legislators are proposing. That's where I am.
Steve, you describe yourself as a fiscal conservative. What are your thoughts on where cuts should be made specifically in Rhode Island's state budget?
Basically, I'd start with, I know people will stop me in a moment, the General Assembly, because it has its budget is basically twice the size of other states like New Hampshire. I would also go to Commerce Corporation. We have millions of dollars there for what I consider corporate welfare programs. Governor Raimondo and Mattiello would call them incentive programs. But I believe that that should be reduced.
Just wondering, I know that the minimum wage now in Massachusetts is about a dollar an hour more than Rhode Island. Is that fair?
That's Massachusetts' decision to do that. I think in Rhode Island that we have to be cognizant of the fact that we have businesses that are small businesses here that are struggling to compete. Raising their costs will make it more difficult for them to compete.
We see how Republicans have really struggled to increase their presence in the legislature for a number of cycles. What does the party need to do differently to change that in general?
We have to do a better job of getting our message out, which getting the resources to get our message out. What I find that if you tell people our message, they're more willing to listen and vote for us. The problem is that we have difficulty getting resources to get our message out because then it gets clouded with other aspects. Second, and I'll say this since maybe a little provocative, other states have two-party systems, Connecticut and Maine. One of the reasons they have competitive two-party systems, there's public matching funds at the General Assembly and their state legislative level. We have it at the general officer level, but we don't have it here at the General Assembly. And there's real two-party systems there. And I've sometimes wondered if we had that here, maybe there'd be a two-party system better.
Well, Common Cause was trying to introduce such a system, but that was made impossible by some court decisions at the U.S. Supreme Court level, which are generally supported by Republicans.
No, I understand that. But if it's an operation right now in Connecticut and in Maine, so they should look at what Connecticut and Maine's doing. That's constitutional, if that could be one way.
As we know, we had, in fact, the mayor of Fall River here just last week. Massachusetts about to roll out its recreational marijuana plan. I'm just wondering, you know, two-thirds of Rhode Island's population lives within, what, a 15, 20-minute drive of the state border. How do you feel about Rhode Island legalizing marijuana?
Obviously, I think I've said this before, I do not support recreational marijuana. I come at it from a perspective of a parent, which is I have three young children, 7, 10, 12, and I like to discourage them from using marijuana. I understand that we would make it legal for adults, but if you make it legal, you make it more accessible, and I'm concerned about sending a message to kids.
We're talking here with Stephen Frias, the Republican challenging House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello for his state rep seat in Cranston. And Steve, in the past, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung has been very happy to come into Rhode Island Public Radio to be interviewed. I've been trying since the fall of last year, probably made more than 25 invitations. He's the only major party candidate who has declined to come in to appear on this show. Does that make any sense to you?
You know, you've asked me a lot of good questions, and this is one of the first I'm having a difficulty answering. Let me just say, I understand your situation. I understand your frustration. Personally, I think the mayor will come into your show eventually. I've come on your show. I find you guys ask tough questions, pointed questions, but you've been fair to me. And I think that eventually the mayor will come on your show, or at least I hope so.
Well, we would hope he would come in ahead of the primary, but anyway, let's go to Scott.
You know, one thing the mayor talked about last time when he ran for governor was making Rhode Island a right-to-work state. Is that a realistic thing that you would push if you got elected?
No, it's not realistic, and it's not. We have a lot of priorities in our state, and in my view, what makes us less competitive is the fact that you can go to Massachusetts and pay less taxes and have and be able to do business better. I would be focusing on trying to make us more competitive with our neighboring states on taxes. I'd also look at education to make us see how can we do what Massachusetts does. Those are the things I would be focusing on to make us more competitive with other states.
One key difference from your challenge to Speaker Mattiello in 2016 is how there is not an independent in the race this year, and that independent in 2016 siphoned some votes that potentially could have put you over the top. What difference will that and the departure of some former campaign staffers for Speaker Mattiello make in this year's race?
I think it does make a difference, and I think it's to my advantage. And what I can see is that there was about 200 votes for this independent who didn't do anything in the race. And I think that that was a place where some Democrats who did not like Mattiello went and deposited their vote because they didn't want to vote for a Republican. Now they will not have that choice. And in regards to operatives, the Speaker's organization is going to need a lot of help if a lot of his top people are no longer around helping him.
Speaker did get the car tax phase out going, and it's moving, and you can see it in your bills. They are less than they were. And you say you want real tax reform. What does that consist of?
Tax relief. To be is having all your taxes going down overall. And what's happened with car tax relief, if you look at the budget, is that our car taxes are going down, but our sales tax has been expanded. It's been expanded where you pay tax now on Amazon, where businesses are paying a tax on their software
services. But that was a federal decision, not the state.
But the state decided to do that. The money that we're getting on sales tax, cigarette tax increases, if you look at the amount in the budgets that are coming in for those particular new taxes in the last couple of years, it's about the amount of money we're getting in car tax relief. I believe in reducing all taxes. If we're going to expand the sales tax, let's lower the rate. That's my point.
Steve, I know you'll tell us that voters in House District 15 are concerned about state issues, not federal ones, but you have a leadership role in the Rhode Island Republican Party. You're the national committee man. Are you concerned by President Trump's posture toward Russia and Vladimir Putin?
I'll preface it by saying, yes, I'm running for state rep, and when I go to the doors, most of my comments and questions are about state issues. In regards to President Trump and Vladimir Putin, his comments that he made in the press conference, I didn't understand them. I have gone on your show before. I believe that the Russians did attempt to interfere with our election. They did attempt to meddle. I'm happy that the president changed his statements afterwards. But I think that having a consistent message that the Russians did attempt to interfere in our election is the appropriate message that all Americans should have.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Republican State Representative candidate in Cranston, Stephen Frias, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.